Welcome to Ray and Tay Today. It's Monday.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show on this Monday, as Tay said. You're listening to Ray and Tay Today, and I'm Ray, Tall Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor. Very excited, hyped up to bring you a good Monday show. You want to join us and get on the ride from AZ to New York or from New York to Tampa, call in at 718-664-9098. Hit us up at rayandtaytoday.com. Email us at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. And tweet at us and like us on Facebook, man, at Ray and Tay Today. We are everywhere. Ray, let them know, man. Busy show.
Busy show, but focused. You know, like Alanis Morissette, we're free but focused. So we'll talk some breaking news really quickly, and then we'll get right into it. We'll talk about the NFL draft coming up on Thursday, the first round. So we'll preview that first round with you. And then we'll have a special guest, Anthony Donahue of Knicks Blog Talk Radio, talking about the Knicks, the first round of the playoffs. And then Ray and Tay will continue our discussion of the NBA playoffs and tell you about the first round, and we'll project our winners all the way through the NBA championship. So it's the continuation of our NBA preview.
Yes, sir. So, Ray, man, why don't you hit them up? Let them know what's going down in some of the breaking news in baseball, man, the national pastime.
Well, it turns out, you know, we talked about this a little bit on air. It turns out that something that everybody said was inevitable, it looks like David Price is on the block, and the Rays are coming to the conclusion that they won't be able to sign this guy, and so they want to trade him, and they're exploring with other teams about shopping David Price, which, you know, it's got to hurt as a baseball fan, as a Rays fan, you know, you should be able to grow your talent and keep your talent. If you decide not to sign the talent, that's one thing. But it seems like they're being forced to do it for financial reasons, which just hurts because, you know, they drafted, they scouted him, they drafted him, they signed him, they nurtured him, they developed him. He should be a Ray until both sides or one side don't want each other.
Right. I think a player like that, just like you said, he should retire, Ray. He's the ace of the staff, Cy Young pitcher. He's a beast. And, you know, the teams will line up from, you know, the Cubs, the Red Sox, Cardinals, Rangers. You know, hey, who knows, maybe the Yankees even jump in. But that would be a sad situation. I don't like it for baseball. And this is why, you know, we talked off air about it, that the football's been, you know, the national pastime, because every team's got a shot, a chance. And no excuses, right? Baseball is doing really well. They're getting a lot of TV money now. And these teams have got to be able to keep their own players, or else the fan bases. Look, if you just every 5 years build up a guy and then he's gone from Tampa or KC, like, how could the fans buy into the team and the franchise? It's very sad. I don't like it. I definitely do not like it.
Yeah, that's true. And the Colorado Rockies, best record in baseball. Who would have thunk it? So we'll see. We're only 18 or so games in, so we still got a lot of baseball to play. But still, Colorado Rockies, good for them.
Yeah, yeah. Well, listen, the Braves used to have it, and then they met the Pirates. The Pirates are playing some ball, huh?
3 out of 4, yeah. Pirates
are
good business.
You got to like the way the Pirates are going, man. Andrew McCutchen, you know, it's nice to see. I mean, we grew up with the Royals and the Pirates and these teams being really, you know, pillar franchises in baseball, as well as Baltimore, and now they're all three of them are starting to come back and play some good ball again. So that's great. So look, real quick in football, this will lead us right into our segment of the NFL draft. Darrell Revis Island Revis is no longer a Jet. That's kind of hard. The Daily News today, buck off. That's the headline. They stole the headline war. He's traded to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. okay, from New York to Tampa, like a lot of gangsters do. They go south or they go out west. So 13th pick. So the Jets now will draft 9 and 13. We'll let you know what we think about that and who we project maybe going there. And then Tampa, so the Jets get 13, and they also get next year, 2004, I believe it's conditional, so it'll be a third or a fourth round pick.
Yeah.
So that should be interesting. But he signs with Tampa, no guarantee, but 6 years, $96 million. Ray, can I borrow a dollar from Revis?
Go play cornerback and work on your backpedaling skills and listen to Mike Mayock and shift your hips and get your game right. $16 million a year for a guy coming off an ACL who we don't
God
know if he
him.
Can even play anymore. Well, good for him. Look, he's probably, quote-unquote, worth it back a year and a half ago. But now, after the ACL, I don't know. But I guess Tampa has some relief in the fact that none of the money's guaranteed. So,
right.
Like we talked about off-air, it might be essentially a one- or a two-year deal, like a tryout, and then maybe both parties are kind of a wink-wink agreement that, hey, we're not going to be paying you $16 million a year in years three through six. So let's see the first couple years. You'll make up some of the money you think the Jets underpaid you the last 3-4 years when you really were the best corner in the league. So you'll catch up a little.
He was going to get $6 million this year.
Right. So you'll catch up.
More.
Yeah, and then we'll see where we renegotiate you down to something that's a little bit more cap friendly, because we talked about it. You know, they still are going to have to sign Freeman, and they're going to have to sign Martin, and you know, some of their other young studs are going to want more money. So
but they got a nice team though now. Deshaun Golson, Barron, Vincent Jackson, Martin, Nix, the guard, and Vincent Jackson and Freeman.
Yeah, they're spending
Freeman's
money.
They
brought in some high-profile free agents, so they got to go back to the Tampa Bay Bucks of 2 years ago when Radio Raheem was the coach, and you know, they had that good season 3 years ago, I guess. And then last two seasons have been a little disappointing for the folks in Tampa. But, you know, good young team. If I'm a Tampa Bay Bucks fan, I'm happy. I'm happy. Let's give it a shot.
As a Jets fan, I'm happy and sad. Because when you trade away your best player, you know, maybe Rex might not survive this. You know, we'll see what happens. But at the same time, I just don't know if they got enough for him. You know.
Yeah, I agree. The problem is you're selling low, right? So
yeah.
He's torn ACL. They're saying he's back, that, you know, it's been 6 months and he's been working on it. And so hopefully, you know, his training and his doctors are helping him recover. But we talked about this last time, right? Is this an Adrian Peterson case, in which case he'll be ready for week one? Or is this more the other side of the spectrum? Is this more like a Derrick Rose case, where even a year later, he's not even on the court with the rest of his teams playing in game situations, right? Derrick Rose has been exactly a year, whereas Adrian Peterson was, 6 or 7 months? So you don't even know if you're going to get much from Darrell Revis this year, and you're still paying him $16 million. So, look, from the Jets' perspective and Revis' perspective, this almost had to happen because it was just an unholy marriage. There was just too much bad blood on both sides, and it's probably best for both to move on.
Yeah. Well, listen, we'll see. And they play each other week one at MetLife Stadium, Tampa at the Jets. It's going to be fun. So, listen, let's jump into it. Before we have Anthony on talking NBA playoffs and the Knicks and all that good stuff, it's time for our first round NFL draft preview. The Chiefs are on the clock. I'll go first. Ray, I say you got to take Luke Jokel. Everybody's talking about potentially Eric Fisher. You know, different talent that he played at Central Michigan, but I think he proved himself at the pro day. But I just like Luke Jokel, Texas A&M. I think the Chiefs will draft him, and, you know, they gave the Dolphins agents permission to talk to Brandon Albert, who, you know, they, you know, signed a franchise tag to. Who knows if he'll stay there. So I'm going with the Chiefs taking Luke Jokel.
I got to agree with that. You got to go with an offensive lineman. You have your new quarterback. You've got your running back and you've got your wide receiver. Everybody's locked up. You need that star offensive tackle. So, yeah, I agree with that. Jokel. So it's between Jokel and Fisher to me. I don't think there's any debate that they're going to come away with this with an offensive tackle. So I'll agree with that. And then I think number two, Jacksonville Jaguar, to me it's really between Deion Jordan and Eric Fisher. So then it's philosophical. You know, do you want that rushing, you know, linebacker, that three technique, you know, linebacker, or do you want the offensive tackle? So I don't know. This is a tough one. I might go conservative and go with the tackle, go with Eric Fisher here.
Yeah,
but they
need
help on offense. Their best player is Maurice Jones-Drew, and he broke, you know, he had the foot injury and the Lisfranc, and so maybe you bring that offensive tackle in, and they got Blackman, and so I don't know. It's never the wrong thing to do to build from the offensive or defensive line, you know, the big uglies.
Yeah. No, and that's what this draft is full of. It's definitely notoriously, you know, not big positions and star names, but it is full of offensive and defensive players, a very deep draft, actually. I agree with you. I was going back and forth with Jordan and Fisher, and for Jacksonville now, I'm thinking to potentially help Blaine Gabbert or whoever will be quarterback and Maurice Jones-Drew. I'm gonna go with Eric Fisher as well. So number three for the Raiders, what are you thinking?
So everybody's saying Sharif Floyd.
Yeah.
And I think I agree with that. I think a defensive tackle makes sense here. If you think Deion Jordan's going to be a star, you take Deion Jordan here. If you have doubts about him, because, right, he just shot up the draft boards, you know, a month or two ago, starting with the combine and the pro days. And you know, there were times where you said, okay, he's small. He's not, you know, making an impact on every play. So if you don't love Deion Jordan here, you go with Sharif Floyd.
Yeah, I think, you know, they didn't re-sign, you know, they lost Tommy Kelly. They haven't re-signed the guys that used to play with the Patriots. I'm forgetting his name, the big
Seymour.
Yeah, Seymour. So to me, it's a no-brainer, Sharif Floyd for the Raiders, number three. Moving along, the Eagles and Chip Kelly. I think his guy's on the board, and I think maybe they go with Deion Jordan. Here
yeah,
four.
If he's there, you go with Jordan, and if not, you take the guy from Utah, Latulele. He was cleared medically, and I know Philly's always been high on him. So, again, I think you're taking a defensive tackle or a defensive end slash rush linebacker. You'll be fine. So Philly actually is in a sweet position because I think at four, one of those two will be there, and I think they like both of them.
Right. No, I think you're right about that. Don't be surprised, though, if Philly does something weird, like maybe, you know, Lane Johnson maybe even or Geno Smith or trade down. You just never know. But, I'm going to go with Deion Jordan. I think speed is the key for them. That's the way they're going. So number five.
The Detroit Lions.
Oh, the Lions, yes.
Woo! Now, they'd love to have Eric Fisher fall down to them. Not sure that'll happen because he's from Central Michigan. He's the local boy. You know, here, to me, they have so much depth and talent at the defensive line that, you know, some people...
But remember, they lost Cliff Avril. They lost Cliff.
They did.
You know, they lost Cliff Avril.
That's a good point. So that's why some people are saying Ezekiel Ansah, the defensive end from Brigham Young.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's available. You know, nobody is really talking about, they're talking about, other than that, offensive tackles, right? They're saying
I actually think
Lane
Johnson's going to go here. Yeah. I think they're
going to
go
Oklahoma.
Yeah, I think they're going to go Lane Johnson here. That's my pick. Just because I think they've got to, you know, protect Reggie Bush and the quarterback and their game. I think they need offensive linemen, and they can have Lane Johnson to the left, and then their last year's pick, who's pretty tough, Reeve Riley, go to the right tackle, and then they're set. I think that's what they're going to do.
Okay. All right. So at six, the Browns. Looks like everybody calling for them to pick up D. Milner. They just love this guy, fit him right in.
Yeah, I could see D. Milner, or I could see Ziggy going here as well. I'll probably go with D. Milner, but I could see Ziggy dropping here as well. It should be, either way, it's going to be interesting. But I'll go with Ziggy as well. I mean, I'll go with D.
Cardinals,
as well.
How about your Cardinals at number 7? This starts to be interesting.
Yeah, this one here, to me, I think they would want to, you know, they could might trade up because I think they want Lane Johnson. But I don't think he's going to be there. So I think actually they go ahead and draft Ziggy here. You know, I don't think, you know, some people say quarterback, but I think, you know, maybe they'll look for a quarterback in the second round and develop him because they got Carson for a couple of years. I think if not Ziggy, I think they could go with Chance Womack.
Womack, yeah, that's what I was thinking, is that they need an offensive line. You know, their defense is serviceable and at times was pretty good last year.
Yeah, that's
so
actually, yeah. That's the
I think they might go. Yeah. The problem is the drop between Johnson and Womack is considered to be pretty big. But, you know, I think you might go with Womack, or if they love Jonathan Cooper here. But I think they come out of here with an offensive guard. I mean, you might want to tackle if you can get him, but if you can't, you get a guard. And so I think the kid from Alabama is nice. So he projects as a sort of a mid-first rounder. So maybe you're taking him a 3-4 slots earlier than where he projects. But you know what?
But you got that knee.
Yeah.
No, you're right, and I agree. I think, you know, and that's funny because, you know, that if that's the case, you know, Ziggy keeps dropping. Not like it's so far, right? I mean, but, I would take Womack there. And then the Bills. Bills at 8. This is interesting. I'm hearing a lot of stuff that Ryan Nassib could jump over Geno Smith and they take him at number 8. That would be shocking to me. I'm like, you could trade back in. You can get him in a second round. To me, I'm like, hey, you need talent. Right here, you go take Ziggy Ansah. That's what I would do.
Well, they do have some defensive talent. They're just underachieving. So, you know, if you think that they just had a bad year and they'll come back, they could do that. They could use an offensive lineman as well. So maybe Jonathan Cooper from North Carolina if he's there. I don't want them to take a quarterback. So you know, even though Geno Smith and Ryan Nassib are on the board, I'd rather see them get alignment, a defensive lineman or an offensive lineman. So I'll go with Jonathan Cooper here for them.
Okay. Yeah, that's going to be interesting. I'm gonna go with Ziggy here. Maybe even Barkevious, but I'll go with Ziggy here. And then the Jets, their first of 2 picks. This is where, for me, I take, as they call him, Kiki, I take Barkevious Mango here. I think the Jets, I think they need a pass rusher, and I think he's the guy for them.
Yeah, I like that pick. You know, Geno Smith's available if you want him. I just don't think that Geno Smith's the real deal, and you don't take him at 9, especially for a Jet team that just traded Darrelle Revis and wants to rebuild with talent. And so go get yourself a starting linebacker and, you know, start building around him, especially because you're getting – not only do you get a young guy, but you've lost some talent at the linebacker position. You may bring him back, so Calvin Pace and Bart Scott and all those guys. Plus, you need a playmaker, and this guy, you know, had a great career at LSU, so I like him. I like him. Mingo, Barkevious.
Yeah, he's a ball player, you know. He's definitely a ball player. It's so funny, this first, like, little bit of the draft here, there could easily be some trades. I wouldn't be shocked at all if you see a couple of, you know, a couple of moves, you know, jump in here. But you can't go wrong, I think, with what we're projecting. So
let's
keep it moving. Tennessee.
Tennessee.
Well, for me, I'm gonna go with Star here. I'm gonna go. No, maybe, you know what, I'm going to go with D. Milner here. I think that they've lost.
Well, if D. Milner's available, right, if the Browns take him at 6, then D's off the board.
Oh, no, that's right. I already projected. Yeah, I had the Browns taking him. Okay. So, yeah, he's off the board. So then, I haven't used Star yet, so I'm going to go Star star Lute Atele. So to me, he's the defensive tackle out of Utah. He's got the clean bill of health. And I think they need some studs. I think they need to go in and pressure. You know, you could see Cooper here as well, even Pfluger from Alabama, you know, the big boy. But I'm gonna go with Star here. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So let's group the next few. So we've got 11, 12, 13, 14, and 15. So the next five, right? So we've got the Chargers, the Dolphins, the Jets now from the Bucs,
yeah,
and then the Panthers and the Saints. So this next group is pretty interesting because I think you're getting some talented guys that maybe had a bad combine or, you know, could do some things and you know, you might get some steals, quote unquote, steals here, right? So specifically, you know, I'm looking at DJ Fluker from Alabama potentially going to Miami and maybe a Jarvis Jones who before the season and even during the season was projected as a top 10 but, you know, didn't do certain things at the combine, didn't have a great pro day. So if he falls, you know, maybe to the Saints at 15, that's a nice little pickup.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny in this little whole little group here, I could see the Chargers maybe, you know, getting Cooper. I could see the Jets at 13. I definitely see the Jets getting Jones. I think if they don't go for Jones, I think they go for the tight end. I think they go for Tyler Eifert from Notre Dame. So
really?
I think that'll be interesting.
You use a pick, you use 13 on Tyler Eifert? I mean, you must think he's special because to pick a tight end.
Yeah, but they have nobody. They have nobody. Now, granted, I could see them taking Cooper here, right? They could definitely go with Cooper or Jones or Fluger.
Go for Tavon Austin. Go for a wide receiver then.
Okay. No, you're right. I mean, you got to give some toys. I mean, but Fluker's a stud, too. That offensive line is not, you know, ground and pound, and they haven't been doing so well. And the Panthers, you know, I mean, who knows, you know, at 14, the Panthers could, you know, easily take a Fluker. But I think in this range, you're starting to see some different guys, you know, come in, you know, even maybe Sheldon Richardson. He could, you know, he's flying up the D-tackle from Missouri. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. The Saints. Now, Saints are a talented team. You know, you're right. What you were saying, they could get a Jones. You know, maybe they get one of those linemen that maybe drop. You know, so that should be interesting. And then you want to look at the next group.
The next group. We've got 16,
the Rams,
20.
Right. Rams at 16, Steelers 17, Cowboys 18, Giants 19, and the Bears at 20. What are your Cowboys going to do? What are you thinking at 18 for your Cowboys?
They need some help. Well, they need an offensive lineman, but the problem is I don't think anybody in the offensive line is slotted to be here at 18. So the top four or five guys go early. So I think they go with a defensive lineman, and it looks like either Sheldon Richardson or Sylvester Morris, so the kid from North Carolina, Williams, or Richardson from Missouri.
Oh,
so,
man,
either way,
I think they take the safety here. Kenny Vaccaro.
I think they take Kenny Vaccaro, but
I do. Vaccaro, baby, from Texas. I think
it's high to be taking a safety at 18. I mean, you get a safety
they need
in the
it so badly,
round.
Though. I think they got to.
You think so?
And you know what I like? I could see the Giants in 19 getting Alec Ogletree, the stud from Georgia. I could see him going there. The Bears, this is interesting. I think this is where the Bears could very possibly take Manti Te'o.
Yeah, they lose Urlacher. And if Ogletree's available, it'll be between Ogletree and Te'o, because Te'o will be available at 19. Nobody's going to take him before 19.
Right.
Or 20, right? The Giants 19, the Bears 20. Yeah, so Ogletree or Te'o, take your pick.
Yeah, I think my Steelers at 17, I could see us going with Tavon Austin. I think
okay.
We could take a receiver. You know.
What about Tyler Eifert?
Yeah.
He's there.
It's a possibility, but I also, you know, they're also
Kenny
looking at the other receiver. They for some reason the Steelers tend to like Keenan Allen a lot.
Right,
Cal.
He's got a little Mike Wallace in him. He's tall,
yeah.
Skinny, fast.
Yeah.
And what about
you
guys, Kenny Vaccaro? Because you've got an aging secondary. So with all due respect
that,
to Ryan
Clark
and Palomalo,
right.
They're getting a little long in the tooth.
I think it's very possible. And you know what? I think the Rams definitely need a receiver. So I think Austin will probably go early to the Rams. It's right there at 16.
Okay.
You know, I think the Rams will take him, and then it will be either, you know, for the Steelers, if they want, you know, Hunter, Allen, or Patterson, you know, Hunter from Tennessee, Justin Hunter. So that's going to be a nice little grouping. I think this is when we start to hear about Manti Te'o. You know, we'll see, you know, what the Bears do. But then it gets interesting. We got the Bengals at 21. The Rams again, right, from the Redskins pick at 22.
The Vikings
then
at 23.
We have Vikings at 23, Colts 24, and then Vikings at 25. So what do you think the Bengals do?
Well, they're all over the place. I think that if one of the safeties is available, so if Kenny Vaccaro is available, they'll take him. So I think that they could use a safety, either a free safety or a strong safety.
Right, they could go with Matt
Elam.
Yeah.
Yeah, some other drafts I've seen, you know, maybe Eric Reed or maybe a maybe they go with Eddie Lacy. You know, if you don't think that Ben Jarvis Green Ellis is the truth, then maybe you go with Eddie Lacy. You look at, you know, bringing the big bag in. You know,
what do you think if they don't believe in their receivers? You know, if you're not sure about Sanu and the other guys, maybe you draft a DeAndre Hopkins from Clemson, the big hands, and
or Keenan Allen if he's available. You're assuming now that by this point that you know Tavon Austin's
going
to be gone.
Yeah.
And maybe
I can see
maybe it's possible.
No, you're right. And then I could see the Rams. Maybe they scoop up Eric Reed. You know, since they already take a receiver earlier. I could definitely see that. And then the Vikings. Let's talk about the Vikings two picks, and then we'll get back to the Colts. What do you think the Vikings do? I mean, with two picks, do you think they sort of trade, or do they just sort of get some first-round value and maybe get Sylvester Williams?
I think Desmond Trufant. If they can get him at 23 or 25, that's nice. I think they lock down a corner, and he did
well.
And
maybe they could take a Te'o. They need an inside linebacker.
And maybe Te'o. If you can come out of here with Te'o and Trufant, that's not bad. If you want to mess around
a receiver,
with a receiver,
yeah.
You know, maybe you look at Patterson. Yeah.
Or Hunter, whoever's available.
Hunter.
Yeah.
So I think one of those, you know, one of those two defensive players. So if you can come out of here with Trufant and Te'o, that's not a bad draft.
Yeah.
If you come out of there with Trufant or Te'o, and maybe a Patterson, that's not bad either. Or Carradine, the defensive end from Florida State, right? Because they're getting long in the tooth also in the defensive front four. So I like this Minnesota team having.
What about the Colts at 24? You think maybe they go with a lineman, like maybe Melanick, the kid Watson from Florida State, or possibly a receiver? I don't know. I think they got some young
receivers
last year.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I like T.Y. Hilton, and I think that Reggie Wayne's still got a few years left. So if you think that Keenan Allen is the star and you can pick him up here, that's great. If you think that somebody else like Justin Hunter is a potential star, but I think they have other needs. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, well, you lose a Dwight Freeney, remember. So
yeah,
I think,
that's what I was about
you know,
to say.
I don't know if there's any pass rushers still, you know, at this first round or any value.
Tom Jones, the kid from UCLA, maybe, or Werner from Florida State, if they're
I like
they're
Werner
on the board.
Yeah. Okay.
All right,
so let's
finish up that first round.
Okay, well, you got Green Bay, the Texans, the Broncos, then at 29, the Pats, 30, the Falcons. Then we have the Niners at 31, and to finish off the Ravens at 32. Well, Packer Nation, you need an offensive lineman. You also need a safety. So you could go at Elam or, you know, maybe take one of these offensive linemen that still might be around. I don't know if, you know, the value pick is there for offensive linemen. Could be the
right,
Justin Pugh.
Florida State might be there.
The Syracuse kid, Justin Pugh, he's getting some first-round love and some grades. So what do you think about
Elam,
them, maybe?
I think if Elam falls to them, they'll be happy with that.
Okay. What about them taking a Zach Ertz or a Tyler Eifert if he's not already
scooped
up?
Oh, they'll be long gone. Tyler Eifert.
I don't know about Ertz, though. I don't think Ertz will be.
No, Ertz will be on the board.
Yeah.
But
are you
I think
going receiver for the Texans at 27?
Yes.
You know, if there's one of these guys left?
Badly. Hopkins or Hunter or Patterson. You know, I think that the
somebody,
Texans
or even
have,
Woods. Would you even take Woods here, maybe, if he's there? Because Andre Johnson's getting old. You're not just looking for you're not just looking for a number two receiver. Also,
and frankly,
you know,
you've never had a real number two behind
Andre
Johnson since he's been there.
No, I agree. I agree. Well, also Minter. I would definitely say Minter here. And real quick before Anthony joins us, the Ravens. They could take a Minter. They could take a Teo.
They could take a Woods, right?
Right. And the Niners. I think the Niners will probably take Zach Ertz here. You know why? Because of them losing Delanie Walker, I could see them doing that.
But
know,
they also
so.
Might want to replace Deshaun Goldson.
With
so
an Elam.
They might look for a safety. If Elam slips to them, yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Or
and then I think the Cardinals definitely take a secondary guy. They could look for Trufant or somebody, you know, like that. Or maybe a tight end. Maybe Zach Ertz here, right? Your boy's leaving, so Gonzalez for one more year. And who knows what the Patriots will do. I got to believe they'll go corner. You know, maybe they go DJ Hayden.
They'll probably
we'll
trade
see.
Out and pick up more picks. You know, they just like to accumulate picks. These guys are notorious.
They're smart at that, yeah. Picks. And the Broncos, they could maybe take an Eddie Lacy, get a running back. So
yeah, they have so many issues with injury with McGahee and our boy Noshawn Moreno. Yeah, or they could go with a wide receiver also. I don't know. If Werner drops, they would take him, I think, defensive end. If Desmond Trufant drops, they would take him too. So I think that the Broncos are in a wait and see. They might be a team that trades up because they're the type of team that says, look, we've got Peyton Manning probably for another 2-3 years, but that's about it at this high level. So let's go for it now. And if we think we're a corner away or if we think we're a Tyler Eifert away or if we think we're a defensive end away, especially because they lost, that went to the Ravens. Doomerville. So
yeah.
They might want to replace him. They might go up and get him. So they might trade up and make that move. So I wouldn't be surprised to see Baltimore go up and see New England go down out of this round.
Right.
Two teams.
So I guess Anthony should be joining us soon.
Yeah,
and,
we're waiting for Anthony Donahue to call into the show.
Well, let's talk a little bit about, you know, the Eastern Conference. I mean, we'll talk next with him. What'd you think about yesterday, the Pacers? I mean, that game. Let's get that out of the way. They kind of took it to Atlanta. Wasn't much of a matchup, and to me, Paul George was like, "Hey, I'm a star. I'm the star on this court," and he showed it.
And good for him because we told our viewers last time that we think he's one of those underrated guys, most improved player probably in the NBA. We were laughing, Ray and Tay, you know, we were talking about this on air and we said, you know what? No wonder this is the first game because this game really doesn't have much in the way of star power. I mean, think about the guard play. You know, you've got Stevenson and Hill, and you've got Teague and Devin Harris as your four guards. So this is the NBA playoffs, folks. This is the 3-6 matchup, and those are your guards. And this is a league that's guard-heavy. You know, there's a lot of guard talent. We talk about folks that, you know, are having trouble breaking in. You know, Steph Curry isn't even an all-star. And we talk about, you know, in the West, we talk about all these point guards, and these are the four guards that we have in a 3-6 matchup in the East?
No, I tell you, the Hawks are not a team to get excited about. I think it's going to clearly be Knicks-Pacers, and, you know, the Knicks will get a little bit more banged up than the Pacers will. We already said our picks, but I just think the Hawks would be lucky to get one game. They do not look impressive. They do not look impressive.
Yeah, and I wonder if this is going to hurt Josh Smith's bid to get big money as a free agent, because people will say, well, you were a cog in the wheel and you led your team to a number six seed, but you didn't do much in the playoffs and you're not really a go-to guy, and yet you want go-to guy money. So we'll see what happens with that as his impending free agency, because, you know, he's a nice player, but like we said, you know, he can't be your best player, and he probably can't even be your second best player. He's got to be your third best player if you want to do something in the playoffs. And even on those super talented teams where they had Joe Johnson and Smith playing together, they didn't go very far. So we'll see. Yeah, this Atlanta team, you know, I agree. They might win a game at home when it goes back to Atlanta, but ultimately, you know, I think this Pacer team is going to be waiting in the second round for the Knicks-Celtics winner, which, you know, I think is the Knicks. But we talked about this off-air a little bit. This looks a lot like a chalk playoffs, this first round, and maybe even throughout the playoffs, where the higher
seeded teams. Yeah, we'll have to talk to Anthony about that. It you know, even Barkley said it last night on TNT, it could be the worst first round in NBA history, which, you know, you don't like to hear that. But, you know, the matchups are what they are, you know. But I think they will
Barkley
get better.
Say that he was going with Jennings? He was going with Brandon Jennings, saying that
those Jennings quotes were interesting, but then Barkley was like, oh, that poor kid.
I'm not mad at him. You know what? Go for it. You know, you got to think in your mind that you have a chance to win. I mean, maybe you don't come out and say it, but you know what? Why not? The kid is confident. That's his game, and that's what allows him to score 26 last night, you know, against in a losing effort, but he did. He got his, so I don't have any problem.
Well, you want to talk about impressive, let's talk about the Heat and then LeBron. That type of dominance and that blowout, man. LeBron, 27, 10, and 8, that's ridiculous. Almost a triple-double game one. That's a statement right there, you know.
They had a stat that said that LeBron has the most – it's kind of a weird stat, but LeBron has the most 25, 10 rebound, 8 assist playoff games in NBA history already. So more than Oscar Robertson, more than Magic Johnson, more than Larry Bird, more than Michael Jordan. So this guy's in his 10th year. Like we said, he's going to win his fourth MVP, and he may win his second title. Oof. We start to think about where do we put LeBron James in the all-time best player.
Oh, we already said it. Yeah. Well, we said number one small forward after the season if they win it, definitely. But, yeah, where do we rank him in the top 10? Does he crack the top 10? You know, I mean, you like to wait till players' careers are finished, but it's definitely food for thought. You know,
moving up.
At,
so here we got our caller.
All righty.
Let's patch him in. Hello, you're on the air. This is Ray and Tay.
Hey, it's Anthony.
Hey, what's up, Anthony? How you doing, man? This is Ray.
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Oh, we're doing great. Hey, remember last time we were on, it was, you know, 10 seconds before Hurricane Sandy hit. So, you know, I'm looking outside just to make sure we're good. But it looks like
we're all
right.
Beautiful. It's beautiful out here in New York. It's a little chilly, but it's beautiful. And I wish it was a little warmer, but you know, I'm sure it'll get there. Not to worry.
Yeah, definitely. What's up, Ant-Man? Listen, let's jump right into it. You know, first we'll, you know, have to really break down game one. But I want to ask you, you know, your thoughts on game one. Obviously, the bench, you know, we had key plays from, you know, Kidd and Martin in that fourth quarter. But how did you like us sort of not playing our best game but still grinding out a win against Boston?
Oh, I think that's something, if you're a Knicks fan, you have to be extremely happy about. Listen, throughout the regular season, you'll win games the next day on my show, your show, anybody else's show. You'll break down every little thing. So maybe you'll win a game and they'll say, well, you won the game, but you should be worried about this. You should be worried about that. The Knicks did not play their best game. I thought the Celtics played really well. I just think their offense isn't that good. And here's the thing, though, is that in the playoffs, it's not about style points. It's about getting a win, and the Knicks got the win yesterday. They're up 1-0 in the series, and Carmelo Anthony played a solid game. He started off hot, ended hot, struggled throughout the game, you know, missing a lot of easy shots, but that's not something I'm worried about. And Kenyon Martin and Jason Kidd were just phenomenal. I mean, Jason Kidd made about 5 or 6 plays that probably didn't show up in the box score that were extremely important to win the game. And Kenyon Martin, what can you say about him, man? He's been awesome. I mean, he's 35 years old. He's moving like a 25-year-old. He's finishing around the rim. He's playing defense. He's blocking shots. He was tremendous. And also J.R. Smith on Saturday did not play even close to play his best game of the year. In fact, he played probably one of his worst games of the year. So the Knicks did not play very well. They got the win. They're up 1-0 in the series. So like I said, if you're a Knicks fan, you should be ecstatic. And I picked the Knicks in 5 games, and I'm still sticking to that prediction.
Okay, that's interesting. Now, I kind of agree with you, and I took the Knicks in 6 just because I know that Boston is gritty and, you know, maybe at home Pierce and Garnett could do something. But basically, you know, we were talking about it. You know, look, obviously, you know, all the number one, you know, the home court teams won, looking like it might be sort of a clean sweep for the higher seeds. But, you know, just projecting out, I mean, it looks like the Knicks are probably going to be able to tango, and I want to know what you think, how they'll battle with the Pacers and the Heat projecting out.
Well, I think the Pacers is going to be an extremely interesting series because here's the first question. What do you do with Melo? Do you want to play, even though you always want to play your game, and what's worked for the Knicks this season is Carmelo Anthony playing the 4 position. If you play the Celtics, the Pacers, do you want to play Carmelo Anthony at the 4? Do you want him going against David West? Do you want him going against Tyler Hansbrough? Do you want him going against Ray Hibbert and getting banged by them guys where he could be beat up by Game 3? Or do you slide Melo back to the 3 and maybe start Kenyon Martin at the 4, Tyson Chandler at the 5, with Melo at the 3, then you decide whether you want to go with Pergione or Felton at the 2 along with Raymond Felton? But, you know, obviously there's substitutions made pretty quick in the basketball game. These are things you have to figure out if you play the Indiana Pacers. If you watched the Knicks-Pacers game last Sunday at the Garden, I mean, Carmelo Anthony just got beat up. I mean, he got beat up. He said he wasn't hurt or anything like that, but the Pacers will beat you up. And that's going to be, that's the most interesting thing about playing the Pacers. What do you do with Carmelo Anthony? Do you play him, stick with him at the 4, or slide him back down to the 3? Either way, he'll do what he does. But I think, to me, that's an extremely interesting question. Another thing, Amari Stoudemire, I mean, there's talk he could be ready to go in the next few days. What do you do with him? Do you get him some minutes, play him 12 minutes a game? I don't think it's a bad thing if he can give you 12 to 15 minutes a night and contribute. I don't know how rusty he is. Amari, you always keep yourself in phenomenal shape. So, but I think if he can give you 12 to 15 minutes a game, especially, you know, Tyson Chandler hasn't been 100%. Kenyon Martin's coming off an injury. You haven't really got much of Marcus Camby. Rasheed Wallace retired, and Kurt Thomas was released. If Amari can give you something, obviously the Knicks have played their best basketball all season without Amari Stoudemire between opening night and January 31st, and from when Amari Stoudemire went down in mid-March until now. But if Amari can give you 10, 15 minutes tonight, I'm definitely all for that. Now, Amari at 35 minutes tonight, at this point in the year when it's obvious the Knicks have played their best basketball without him, that's not something I do. But 10 to 15 minutes tonight, if Amari can do that, I without a doubt do that.
Yeah.
Okay,
that might cut out Copeland, though.
Listen. Amari Stoudemire is a proven NBA All-Star. Copeland is not. I have no problem with Chris Copeland. He obviously was nervous on Saturday in Madison Square Garden. Yeah. But if Amari can give you a few minutes, you throw Amari Stoudemire out there. You just do.
Agree.
No. So back on that point, though, so looking at the box score from last game, I'm looking at the minutes, right? And Mike Woodson played 9 guys. So you figure, you know, Novak only got 5 minutes, but everybody else, you know, Copeland got 13, and he was the lowest, and then Chandler 20 or so, Iman Shumpert 22. So he's juggling 9 guys. And then if you put Amari back in the mix, obviously the Copeland's minutes, you know, essentially go away. But But how do you think who's going to be affected by that, right? And what does Mike Woodson do? Because you really can't practice at this time of the year. So it's a tough dilemma for the coach.
I would say you're right. Chris Copeland's minutes will be affected. But I think if Amari Stoudemire does come back, he's only going to play 10, 15 minutes a game, I think. So I don't think you have to worry that much about getting him activated. You know, but Carmelo Anthony's on the bench, maybe you run the offense through Amari Stoudemire. Because, you know, listen, if he's playing 30 minutes a game, I think that's something you have to worry about. But if he's only going to play 15 minutes a game, 7 minutes a half, 8 minutes a half, I don't think that's anything really that Coach Woody really needs to worry about. I really don't. Now, if Amari Stoudemire is coming back wanting to play 35 minutes a game, then now you're going to have some issues. Now, I'm like, all right, we're obviously playing our best basketball. Now you, how do we work you back in and still be a winning basketball team? But if you're only going to play a few minutes a game, I truly believe you can work around that.
Okay. Now you mentioned J.R. Smith, the sixth man of the year. They just announced
yep,
the sixth
well
man of the year.
Well.
So, yeah,
I'm so happy for him.
But well-deserved.
Yep.
Yeah, tell us about that. Tell us about how, you know, your courtside view of that, his evolution, not only as a basketball player, but just as a person. It seems like he's a whole new guy. You know, we remember him back in Denver, and he was this sort of talented, straight from high school, you know, super talent, but a little bit of a knucklehead. But he's, you know, developed himself and rounded himself into quite a player.
Yeah, man, he has. I mean, I'm not saying he's a top 20 player in the league or top 15 player, but he without a doubt has top 15 in the league talent. And there's still times, listen, J.R. Smith does some things where you're scratching your head. There's a few times, and I'm pro J.R., there's a few times in Saturday's game where J.R. dribbled the ball for 10 straight seconds and took an awful shot. I'm like, J.R., what the hell are you doing? But for the most part, J.R. has been awesome this year. The key thing with J.R. Smith this year, I feel offensively, and I was talking to Allen Houston about this when I was volunteer coaching at his basketball camp. What Allen told me is that what the coaches are trying to do with J.R. Smith. Every now and then he doesn't do it, but when you get the basketball, you're so strong, you're so fast, you're so quick. Make your move within 2 to 3 dribbles, whether
exactly.
That's a pass, a shot, a step-back jump shot, a fadeaway jump shot. Try not to dribble more than 3 times per time you touch the basketball. And since the coach is really sort of working in with that, he's been a lot more effective. Now, I guess there's still some times where J.R. dribbles the ball 25 times. You're like, dude, chill.
But you know what?
Part,
I like it, Anthony. I love it when
dribble.
He goes to the hoop, though. Don't you love it? Like,
oh,
I think sometimes
he's
aggressive. I like that.
He's so strong. He's so quick. And he has great offensive technique also.
Yeah, the best thing that happened to him in terms of his confidence and really sealing the deal, it sounds terrible to say, but was when Amari went down, there was no uncertainty who the next best scorer and the second go-to guy for the Knicks was, and it's J.R. Smith. And that really, you know, about halfway through the season, it seems like his, you know, excellent season really went to another level, and he, at the same time, took over from Jamal Crawford and really earned himself the Sixth Man of the Year award.
Oh, without a doubt. And yeah, that's true, because with Amari there, obviously Melo's the go-to guy, and, you know, then you still have J.R. Smith, Randy Felton, Iman Shumpert, and like you said, when Amari went down, there was no doubt who the next guy in line was. It was Carmelo Anthony, and that's J.R. Smith, and he was absolutely, during that 13-game winning streak, J.R. was absolutely.
Yeah, you know what I also liked about it, man? I saw him live out here in Phoenix, and, you know, he hit that game winner, he hit the other game winner in Charlotte. I think this year he really, the coach, Woody has been such a good influence on him and that confidence. And like you both just said, you know, you don't want to see Amari go down. But his confidence now, I think he's going to get a new contract, and I think the Knicks will be for the better next season with a healthy Melo, JR, and Amari. They're going to be even a
better
team.
I agree, but I think this is the first time in 13 years where it's April and we're not talking about next year. I mean, it's a conversation, but I think we should
talk about
this season. Like I said, this is the first time in the year 2000 that we're in the end of April and we're talking about now. We're not
talking about
the draft. We're not talking about the free agent class. We're not talking about who can the Knicks trade for to become a playoff team. I mean, for the New York Knicks, the time is now. And listen, they got a shot. And I'll tell you this, I've been this about every Knicks game in the last 13 years. It's been awful, from Jeff Van Gundy quitting, to Don Chaney, to Lenny Wilkins, to the Isaiah era, Larry Brown, Mike D'Antoni, Shandon Anderson, Howard Eisley, Lee Nalon, you know, Jamal Crawford jacking up shots. I can go on and on.
Don't forget about Zebo, baby.
Quintel Woods airballing dunks. I mean, it was bad. And let me tell you what. In 2011 versus Celtics, game three, Knicks down 2-0. Everybody knew the Knicks had no chance. Amari was out. Chauncey Billups was out. You go back to last year, game three at the Garden, Knicks down 0-2 to the Heat. Everybody knew the Knicks had no chance. It was an extremely amazing moment for me as a Knicks fan, going to basically every game in the last 13 years, loving this team the way I do since I was a little kid. Walking into Madison Square Garden on Saturday afternoon at about 1 o'clock, a few hours before tip-off, seeing the excitement on people's faces in the street, seeing the orange and blue everywhere, and people actually thinking to themselves, we're not just going to root, ha-ha, maybe we get a playoff win. We have a chance to do this thing. Now,
yep.
I'm not saying this, the Knicks are going to do it, but boy, oh boy, they have a chance. And there's nothing like Madison Square Garden when the Knicks have a chance and the fans know they have a chance. And when you haven't experienced real playoff basketball 13 years, you have to take a step back as a fan and just take it all in. There was a point, like about 5-6 minutes left in the basketball game on Saturday, and the Knicks had the ball, and the whole Garden rose as one. And I tell you, man, I had chills. I had chills because something like that really has not happened since, you know, Allen Houston, Latrell Sprewell, and those guys were on the team.
Yeah.
And it was extremely awesome.
Sure.
And even in
99,
man.
You talk about having a chance. The Knicks were the 8th seed. So
yep,
the Knicks really haven't been a favorite since 94. But the Knicks will be favored. The Knicks are favored in this round. And then if the Knicks win, obviously they'll be a favorite. Not obviously, but probably be a favorite against Indiana. So the Knicks, Vegas has the Knicks going all the way to the conference championship. So let's talk about that. You know, get our hopes up a little bit. But the Heat, what can the Knicks do, assuming that the Eastern bracket holds to form and the Heat take care of their, you know, 1-8 matchup against the Bucks, and then they'll beat, you know, the Brooklyn-Chicago winner, and then Knicks beat the Celtics and then beat Indiana. What can the Knicks do to beat the Heat? What's the formula in your mind?
Well, here's what you're not going to do. You're not going to play small, because then the Heat will absolutely crush you. What you're going to do is you're going to play a lot of Kenyon Martin. You're going to play a lot of Tyson Chandler. You're going to throw Kenyon Martin on Chris Bosh. Maybe even throw Kenyon Martin on LeBron James. You're going to frustrate him. And you're going to, you know, punch him and kick him. No, I'm just kidding. Don't punch him and kick him. I think the Knicks bigs, especially Kenyon Martin and Tyson Chandler, and the Knicks are going to have a chance against the Miami Heat, are going to be huge. And I don't think that the way Dwayne Wade, you know, he's a little banged up. I don't think Dwayne Wade can hold J.R. Smith right now. And obviously the Carmelo Anthony-LeBron James matchup is very interesting. LeBron James definitely played very well against Carmelo Anthony. But if the Knicks can get hot from three, they can keep, you know, Kenyon Martin. I think Kenyon Martin needs to take Chris Bosh out of the series. And I mean, take him out. Hurt him. Play great defense on Chris Bosh.
I think
and,
he can. And I think Amari could be a factor,
well,
too.
You got it. And listen, you're not going to try to run with Miami. That's not how to play. But if you can get hot from three, you can take Chris Bosh out of the series with Kenyon Martin's defense. And listen, LeBron's going to do what he does. But here's what you can't do if you're the Knicks and you play the Miami Heat in the Eastern Conference Finals. LeBron's going to do what he does. Dwayne Wade will probably do what he does. You cannot let Chris Bosh beat you. And you cannot let Mike Miller
Ray
beat
Allen,
you.
Too.
You cannot let Ray Allen get his threes, too. But you can't let guys like Mike Miller and Mario Chalmers beat you. So you can't let that happen.
I definitely agree, man. And you know what's so great about it? I think it's going to happen. We're going to get to see it. And, you know, I think we might even have to reach out to you again, man. And when it gets down to it, we might have to talk about it again, because I think it's going to happen and it's going to be fun. And it will be 6 or 7 games, guarantee. Guarantee.
No problem, guys. Anytime you need me, just hit me up. Sorry I was a few minutes late. But
No, not even a problem, man.
That's great.
Thanks so much, Ann. So listen, we'll be checking you out. Tell us tonight. I heard you're having a big guest on. Let our fans know so they can come check you out.
Yeah, tonight on my radio show, will be on the KnicksBlog.com, one of my favorite hip-hop artists of all time. He's also a big Knicks fan. Jadakiss will be joining me. He's not one of those celebrity fans that doesn't know the game. Jadakiss knows the game extremely well. So he's going to come out with me and talk to New York Knicks basketball.
That's what's up,
that's
man.
Awesome.
Give Jada a shout out, you know. I mean, Jada's the man. We respect Jada all day. So thanks, Ant.
No problem.
We'll talk to you soon. Go next, baby.
Take care, guys.
Yeah, appreciate it, Ant. We'll see you.
No problem. My pleasure.
All right. Well, listen, Ant broke it down for you. I think that's how it's going to go down. Obviously, you know, we talk about the rest of the series. We broke down most of the East real quick before, you know, we end the show. You know, I think the Spurs in the West, I think we both, you know, going on with our picks, we talked chalk. I think only thing that I had, you know, you had the Bulls, and I think you would change that, and I had Golden State, and I would change that. I think it's going to go chalk, and I don't know, Ray, where there will be any upsets. I just think, you know, you're going to see Knicks against Miami. I think Miami will probably beat them. My heart says Knicks, but I think Miami in seven, which is what I picked in the regular season, and, you know, they'll be the East champ. And then out West, I had OKC, and I think it will probably be OKC and the Spurs. And I think OKC will beat the Spurs in six, and then I got the Heat beating OKC in six. So what are your thoughts?
It sounds so boring. Look, I'm sticking with the Bulls. They didn't have a great game, but you know what? That's my only upset, and a five beating a four is not really an upset. But I really see this playoffs as being pretty boring in the sense that the higher-seeded team should win. So moving over to the West, you know, I pretty much Houston doesn't really have a chance against OKC, and it looks like the Lakers just don't have enough offensive firepower, especially in the backcourt, to get past San Antonio. So San Antonio will take care of that series. And then San Antonio benefits from the fact that if Denver survives without, you know, Gallinari and a banged-up Fareed, and even if Golden State wins, I mean, I picked Denver to win, but even if Golden State wins, they lose David Lee. So that's an easier matchup next round. So I got to think that San Antonio win that round 4-1, 4-2. So it looks like you've got San Antonio playing, playing the Oklahoma City Thunder, because OKC should probably be able to handle the winner of Memphis-LA Clippers. It's just a bad matchup for either of those teams. So looks like San Antonio-OKC, and, you know, I still come back to last year, and I say nothing really is that different. Even if San Antonio opens up a big lead, OKC has all the confidence in the world that they're just young and athletic, and they can come back from any deficit. So like they did last year, down 2-0, down in Game 3, down in Game 4, they just were too much. So it looks like an OKC-Miami, and I'd love to go contrarian and pick something else, but I can't. OKC Miami Finals rematch. And if that's the case, you know, the formula that worked last year, I don't see anything really changing. You know, you could argue OKC is less explosive now with Harden, and Miami's played together for another year.
Yeah.
And if OKC
they're going to miss Harden. They're going to miss him.
Yeah, and if OKC can't exploit Miami's one weakness, which is half court offense from the front court. So in other words, Serge Ibaka or Kendrick Perkins pounding them on the offensive glass and pounding them, offensively and running the offense through them. And now Serge has had quite an improved year, but he's still not an offensive force that can create for others and can make.
Let me ask is there any way the Spurs could beat OKC and get into the finals? Do you think now that Ginobili's healthy?
I think there is. Look, at the end of the day, the Spurs, they won't have home court advantage, but you got to figure Spurs are tough at home. And if they're hitting their threes, and if Danny Green and Matt Bonner and Kawhi Leonard can stretch the floor, and Tim Duncan can get his, and maybe get Ibaka in foul trouble, and then the X factor is Ginobili, and the game is tight, and Manu can get his over, you know, a Thabo Sefolosha or a Kevin Martin. Yeah, sure. San Antonio won 58 games. I mean, and for much of the year, other than the last week of the season, they were the best team in the Western Conference. So they can. I pick Oklahoma City, but San Antonio can represent the West.
I agree. I definitely agree. But listen, good show, you know, and I think definitely it's going to be, you know, it's going to be fun, but I do think it's going to be kind of chalk. You know, here come the Heat, Knicks, and here come OKC and Spurs. And that's where we'll get our classic playoffs, right? That's where it's going to get great, and you'll see classic basketball. And Knicks-Pacers will be a lot of fun.
Well, we can still enjoy it until then.
Yeah. So listen, great show. Thanks to Anthony Donahue. We got the NFL draft. Watch that Thursday and Friday. We'll be on Friday before the second round begins. So we'll review the first round and preview the second round a little bit. So we'll see you Friday.
Yeah, talking sports with friends. We're out.
We're out. Peace. Thanks for listening. Go Knicks. Brooklyn Nets will win tonight.